The economy is looking good, according to banks. Inflation is not. For Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. It is earnings season. Companies are going to start reporting their earnings from the third quarter. And what this really means is that we are going to get a peek under the hood of the U.S. economy. Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors and joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you think markets are going to be looking for as companies, you know, tell us what happened to their earnings for July, August, and September?
Well, this is going to be a great time for investors to hear from management teams on how exactly they're doing and faring with the Delta variant coming back and how those businesses are trending. This is when investors really are going to look into the fourth quarter and how managements feel about 2022.
We have already some earnings from banks. What are we learning so far?
Banks are critical because they launch the earnings season and set the tone. Investors always watch to see what management say because obviously banks are very tied to the economy. They have first indications on how consumers are feeling, how businesses are feeling, and how they see loan activity going forward. Lots of loan activity means a healthy economy. We heard from JP Morgan this morning. They think things are getting better. That's going to carry a lot of weight in the market.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, thanks so much.
Thank you.
The U.S. economy cannot fully move on until workers have somewhere to put their kids while they go to work. One of the problems with this is that hiring at childcare centers still lags behind other sectors. It's been hard to find teachers and providers. Employers in other competing sectors like Amazon and Target have increased wages to attract their own workers. Despite all this, federal data from September shows the situation in the childcare industry is slowly starting to improve. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has that one.
For more than a year, Heather Gorski has been trying to recruit teachers for the four early childhood care centers she runs in Southern California.
It was simply no one was applying. People were still very fearful of coming back to work.
But last month, a couple of applications came in.
And I was able to hire two different people, so that was wonderful.
Many childcare centers are still understaffed, but the number of people working in that field did tick up last month by about 3%. That might be because of childcare stabilization grants from the American Rescue Plan. Ashley Williams with the Center for the Study of Childcare Employment at UC Berkeley says those dollars can be used to attract and keep teachers.
Recruitment bonuses or hero pay, bonus pay, or incentives to retain the workforce.
But because early childhood education is one of the lowest paid fields in the U.S., Williams says it'll take more than that to make childcare sustainable long term. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The world has obviously been through a lot of economic shocks these past few years. The pandemic, natural disasters, made worse by climate change, trade conflicts, supply chain breakdowns. So how does the world become more resilient? Countries at the G7, that's the U.S., Japan, the European Union, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, and the U.K., they all have some ideas. Felicia Wong is president of the Roosevelt Institute. She also represented the U.S. on the G7 panel on economic resilience, which came up with these ideas. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Can you give us some examples of things governments could do to make all of our economies more resilient?
First of all, I think it's really important that we recognize that to deliver on our commitments to vaccine equity, we have to make it a priority to mobilize both public and private financing and to scale up the emergency production of vaccines. Another example is the global minimum tax. You saw a big announcement about that recently. This is a really important agreement because it's about the idea that democratic governments can come together to make companies do what the law demands. So it's about raising revenue, but it's also about international cooperation.
The G7 proposals cover a lot of ground: supply chains, labor standards, investment, global trade, digital governance. China's not one of the G7. How significant is that? And how confident are you that enough of the world's major governments will sign on to these?
That's right. China is not a member of the G7. You know, the G7 represents most of the large European democracies: Britain, Germany, France, Italy, obviously the United States, Canada, and Japan. And I think one of the things that we all recognize is that the global system is changing, that China is a very powerful force in the world economy, and its increasing wealth and reach is something that we have not yet in the West had to adjust to. So that's all the more reason to argue for this Cornwall consensus, such that we can make sure that, for example, our supply chains in semiconductor production or our supply chains in making sure that we have enough critical minerals for the production of things necessary for the green transition. We need to make sure that we are cooperating such that we can provide more for our citizens and for the world's citizens.
Where do you think the G7 economies working together could make the biggest difference when it comes to economic resilience globally?
You know, I think it is absolutely critical that we work together to ensure that we have enough funds and enough cooperation and enough joint research to fight climate change and to fund what our European friends call the green transition. We need more public investment, and we also need international coordination and cooperation such that these technologies can be distributed widely, and so that we don't actually see in this transition inadvertently more inequality globally. So one of the things we're calling for to fund these efforts is a 2% increase in public investment from the G7. These are countries that can afford more investment. So a 2% increase in public investment above pre-pandemic levels to make sure that we can move this transition quickly with justice, meaning globally.
Felicia Wong is president of the Roosevelt Institute. She also represented the U.S. on the G7 Economic Resilience Panel. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.